Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Great to have you here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve into bait and switch or whatever else you think BS means. Alive to love means I take in energy, I rest, I plan, I strategize, I prioritize love. I'm alive for love. Lesser things don't interest me. I've given up on hate. I've given up on bitterness. I've given up on unforgiveness. I've given up on anger. I've given up on all the negative emotions that want to drag me into the pits of human dysfunction, where in all of our dysfunction, all we do is create more and more misery. And in the misery that we live in, we sometimes then finally throw in the towel on some level. Oh yeah, we keep living, we keep going, but our life is a shell. Only love reaches into that shell and pulls us up. There's an old song that said, love lifted me, and I believe in the truth of that. Love lifted me. Love gave me a reason to live, a reason to keep going, a reason to keep talking. And, you know, if you're called to be a preacher, you got to keep talking. That's me. And I do believe that love wins. Love conquers. Love never fails. I believe that, first of all, because 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us that. But I believe it because I've seen it. I've witnessed it, that love does not fail. Other things may come and go, but love stands the test of time. So today I want to talk to you, just generally speaking. Sometimes I have lists for you, but today I want to just generalize some ideas and ideals with you about how does love work? How does love work? It's a little bit like a junior high kid asking mom and dad, how do I know when I'm in love? And usually if the parents are smart, they know how to look at that child and say, oh, honey, I can't tell you how you'll know you're in love. You'll just know. So there's a lot of truth right there. How does love work? Well, it just does. And it works, I believe. I just simply believe that love has this magnetism. It has a radiance, a sense that if I look at love long enough, if I stare into the beauty of love, meditate on it, it pulls me out of my funk. It pulls me out of my doldrums. It pulls me out of the sense that nothing's worth it anymore, because love is always worth it. Will I love again? Yes. Well, how do I know that? Because I believe every human is made in the image of God, and God is love. That being the case, I am convinced that we will always love for all the days of our life. The image of God will not go away in us humans. You know, we can stomp on it and kick it around and neglect it, sure. But the image of God is stamped. It's stamped on our being. You can no more get rid of the image of God than you can flap your arms and fly. It's just not possible. You can't get rid of the image of God. And the image of God is love. God is love. And she who dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in them. That's from 1 John. I repeat those things so often, but I have to. I have to, because in repeating them, I'm building layers, I believe, not only for my own thinking, but for those of you who would give me the pleasure of your time in this half an hour. So, as I've said before, pull up a chair, get a cup of coffee, get comfortable. Let me allow me the privilege of some of your time to give you counsel, to share with you what I know to be true. As a pastor of a half century, I'm convinced that whatever your challenges are, love is the answer. I'm convinced that whatever your depressions and your deflatedness is about, love can answer it at some level. So how does love work? Well, first of all, I believe just love works because love has this constant energy that's waiting for some of us to just hold it. Hold it long enough. Breathe in the love of God. Breathe in love for self. You know, I think one of the most neglected loves of all is to love yourself and then to love others as you love yourself. You can't love others if you haven't been decent and loving to yourself, if you've been mistreating yourself. I've heard it said that if I had friends who talked to me the way I talk to myself internally, I'd get new friends. We need to talk to ourselves in a loving way, in a kind way, in a merciful way, to forgive yourself the things that you didn't know until you knew them. We hold ourselves accountable for stuff that we didn't know at the time. Then we discovered that we made a mistake, and then we discovered, oh, there's a higher principle at work in life, and then you have to work through that you didn't know it. So give yourself the love you need to understand that you can only know on any given day what you know until you know something else. You can only know what you know on any given day until you know something else. And then when you know something else, it's imperative that you practice it. And in the practice, even then, you're going to be imperfect. Even then, you're going to reach and stumble. But give yourself grace. Give yourself patience to learn the lessons of love. So how does love work? Love works when it works best inside of you. When we know that the principle of love is the principle of the human existence. It's the principle that keeps the human existence alive and thriving. I look around the world today and I don't dare to start listing the challenges to love, because I think we all know what they are. But those challenges are enormous, and the lists are forever. So in terms of finding answers, we have to find love. And we have to find love for self, love for my own existence, and then love for the people nearest to me. How does love work? Well, love takes me out of myself. It's a contradiction, isn't it? First of all, I love myself so that I'm patient with myself, I'm merciful with myself, I'm forgiving. But then once I've practiced enough of that and I continue to practice it, well, then love draws me out of me. It draws me to see the needs of others. It draws me to understand that others are struggling in a world of hurt just as much as I am, and many times more hurt than I'm struggling with. Their pain isn't just some chosen rage. The pain of others is born of the pain of hurt, the pain of being unloved, the pain of unforgiveness, the pain of having been unforgiven. Others act out of those pains without even knowing they're acting out from them. When we live on the principle of love, when we live on the standard of love, we're forever drawn upward out of ourself, even though when we began the pursuit of love, we began it with love for self in the most healthy way possible. I remember one time as a kid knowing that I felt lost, you know, like so many kids. But in my particular case, there was a lot of addiction and dysfunction in my family. It was my brother, myself, my mom and dad, just four of us living in a small apartment in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we lived in it wasn't necessarily poverty, but I'll tell you, if it wasn't poverty, it was pretty darn close. We were near poverty, let me put it that way. Lived in a tiny little apartment, $90 a month rent. And in that tiny apartment, I remember as a kid wondering how others could do it. I wondered, how are people managing to be happy, managing to be productive, when it felt like for me, I just am trying to manage to stay out of the way, trying to stay out of all the dysfunction, out of the way of all the dysfunction. The dysfunction felt like we were living in this tiny apartment with an 800-pound gorilla. And you know the statement about an 800-pound gorilla, right? Where does that gorilla set? Anywhere it wants. And the dysfunction in our apartment was sitting in the middle of us, anywhere it wanted. And I remember pondering, how does the rest of the world manage this? So in my pursuit of survival in that, something happened in me that said, I've got to get out of this apartment as often as I can. I had the benefit of living in a fairly active city, the city of Milwaukee, where mass transit was very, very available. So for 25 cents, I could go north or south on the bus anywhere I wanted to. And on that bus, I'd get a transfer slip. So that was a free east and west. So I could go south or north as far as I want with a transfer slip. I could go as far east or west as I wanted. And then on the next quarter, I'd make my way back home. I did that more times than I can count. I'm telling you, as a kid, I was on a search for something. I was out there walking those streets or riding those buses, going to museums and libraries. I look back at it now in wonder at my just the fact that I survived all of that. That I've told people often that kind of adventure in me started when I was about 7 or 8, and it lasted through my teen years. But I know this, something in me said there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better life somewhere. And maybe if I just keep on a journey, I'll find it. So as a kid, I wondered. I believe now, everybody out there listening to me, you wonder too, don't you? You wonder, how are other people managing this complicated world? How are other folks fighting through the despair and the struggle? Well, I can't answer for everybody, but I can tell you this. They are saying the same thing about you. How are you managing? How are you surviving? We're all looking at each other in wonder about how the other is doing and how they're doing it. I believe at some level, every one of us are grabbing a bus ticket going as far south or north as we know how, and a transfer ticket to go far as east and west as we know how, so we can search. I believe that search, though, is the search for love. Where will I find it? How will I find it? How does love work? So in answer to that, my musing with you today is to say, keep searching. Never stop looking. Never stop reading. Never stop growing. Never stop putting yourself out there in some new adventure. Don't stop. Just be courageous enough every day to try something new, to say something new, to read something new. It's not going to kill you to learn something. It's not going to kill you to be educated a little bit more. And sure, if you can't afford a college education or a secondary degree education, well, read a book. The online presence of research online with Google and other things. There are so many good articles to read. Now, don't think for a minute that I have missed the fact that there's some junk out there too. There is. There's just some pure outright junk. But know this, if it makes you hope, if what you're reading gives you hope, if what you're reading gives you joy, if what you're reading or researching gives you, you ready for it? Gives you love, or at least the excitement or the desire for love, then keep reading, keep seeing, keep looking, keep reaching. Never stop searching. And to use the analogy of my childhood, get a quarter and make a trip. Get a quarter, get a bus transfer, and go as far as you can to look and to see what the world has in store. How does love work? How does love work? Well, I believe that love works when we work love, when we put in the labor of love. I've said this before here. I want to remind you of some of the principles that I've taught here. When I say we just simply must love, some people will respond by saying, oh, we can't just love. And to me, that's a betrayal that they don't understand that love is far more complex, far more of a subject than just the simplistic wave of the hand, say, well, we just love. No, there is no such thing as just love. Love that is love is going to demand of us to do the heavy lifting in life, the heavy lifting of forgiveness, the heavy lifting of walking away from angry situations. I like to say it this way, take the high road, The low road's congested, accident-prone, and full of road rage. You see, love's going to lead you to the high road, because love is the heavy lifting. Why is it the heavy lifting? Because it'll create for you an opportunity to do the heavy lifting of forgiveness, of letting go of somebody's angry response. The best way, the highest way, and the only way to manage somebody's angry response, speaking of road rage, is to smile and keep going. It's the only way. Now, if you think for a minute that's easy, then I don't think you've ever tried it. I think if you've ever tried smiling in the face of rage, smiling in the face of destructive anger, smiling and not responding, to withhold an answer from somebody who's decided that they're just going to press all of your buttons until you react, to stand away from reaction is to stand for action in the name of love. To refuse reaction is the finest and the best action of our soul. It's really loving yourself. I know we've all had this experience. When you've reacted, when people have given you all kinds of bitterness and rage, and we react, you know what's going to happen within 20 minutes or a half an hour, however long it takes for that reaction to fade. You're going to be exhausted, because reaction drags you through the failure of human existence, the failure of human experience. Reaction is to sell your soul, to sell your mind. To react is to give somebody else the keys to your body, to your mind, to your emotions. You're not acting, you're reacting. And when somebody's getting a reaction from you, they know now they've got the keys to your human vehicle. They're driving. So when we react, we are exhausting ourselves in ways that are really, really damaging to so much of our quality of life. We're called to act. And if you're going to act, then act simply. Act quietly. Act without reaction. Act without the sense of having to have a last word. Act in love. Because when you act in love, you've done the heavy lifting. You've done that which is the harder chore, which is to be a person of freedom in the face of somebody else's bondage. When you're free, their bondage really gets magnified, doesn't it? May even make them more angry. Recognize that freedom is worth holding when especially you're, well, as the old saying goes, when you hold your tongue. When I hold my tongue, I don't reach in there with my hands and hold that tongue. When I hold my tongue, I'm choosing love. I'm making love the master of my destiny, the master of my journey, and I'm making my tongue be controlled by one master, and that's the master of love. So how does love work? And like I just said, love works because love is work. It is the heavy lifting of the human experience. We've seen in the last few years in our nation the acrimony, the anxiety, the divisiveness, the pull from one side to the other politically, the pull from one side to the other spiritually in religious circles. And we're being invited, in the face of our nation's struggle, we're being invited to find a higher way, a more transcendent, a radical way. It's the radical path of love. It's the radical path of rising above the right-left spectrum, the us versus them ideas. To be the people of love is to be a person of the most radical revolution ever introduced to the human experience. And that is when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemy. Oh my goodness. Love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemy. Every law on the books is carried by love. Love is that which is the container for every rule, every law, and every policy that we are reaching for. What we're facing now in our culture is an invitation to join a revolution of love. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, either we will learn to live together as brothers or we will perish together as fools. Martin Luther King Jr. is absolutely right. We must learn to live with each other as brothers and sisters with love. We must learn to live with each other and our differences. Love doesn't say I've got to conquer your ideas. Love doesn't say I need to conquer your policy. It doesn't say I need to conquer your laws. Love says I need to learn and listen. And then after I've learned and listened, and if I still disagree, then I'm still going to hold you in high regard, and we're going to find a way to live this life together as family, as sisters and brothers, because we do not want to perish as fools. Well, for the last 5-10 minutes, I want to take you through an exercise of how love works. Love works when people are relaxed. Love works when people are rested. When you're weary and when you're exhausted, love is at risk. But when you're rested, love gets a chance to give you another moment, another day, another time, another opportunity. And the best way to rest, and I've found this to be true, is to stop. Stop. Just give yourself a stoppage. It's not a sin to rest, you know, though in American society, it seems to me like we've taught people if you're resting, you must be lazy. No, you're resting because you have been working so hard, and maybe it's just emotionally and mentally, but you're exhausted and it's time to rest. And one way to rest, one way it's available to every one of you listening to me, is to rest by breathing well, to breathe deeply. Jesus said of the Spirit that the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it came from and where it's going. It breathes upon us. Another place it said, Jesus said he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We need a receiving of the breath of life. And the way you do that is to practice good breathing. So flatten your feet on the floor beneath you. Sit down nice and straight. Straighten your spine as much as you can physically. Hold yourself very, very straight and take a deep breath. And as I say here every week, get that breath down to the basement of your abdomen. Get it down there to your belt line. Push your diaphragm with as much air as you can get in. Now, we're going to practice it just one time, but if you could give yourself 5 minutes every day to breathe well, you will lower your blood pressure. You will give yourself a chance to love yourself. And you'll give yourself a chance to be rested in the face of chaos. All right, on the count of three, I want you to breathe deep. Breathe as deep as you can down to your diaphragm. 1, 2, 3. Breathe in. Hold it as deep as you can. And exhale. See, right there, just that one moment for me was relaxing. It helped me. It settled me. Now I'm going to do that somewhere after this broadcast for 5 minutes. I'm going to get myself still. I'm going to get my mind clear. And I'm going to get my heart straight by breathing well. And the last exercise, I want to take another few minutes with this, because if sometimes practices can become a little bit mundane. And this is a practice we do here, and it's a challenge I give every time I present an episode of the No BS Bishop, and that is to look people in the eye, slow down the three most magical words of the human language, I love you, slow them down, look people in the eye, and give the full intention of your love to someone, somewhere, somehow, and make love work. How does love work? It works when we work with love. Looking people in the eye. Now, the old-fashioned notion of give person a firm handshake and look them in the eye is still true, but it's even more so true as it relates to love. To look people in the eye, maybe it's a handshake. Maybe it's just simply a hand on the shoulder to give people a safe but challenging moment when you say, I love you. What you're doing for the person that's receiving that is probably a shock to their system, or maybe it's relief. Maybe it's relief for them that they say, my goodness, somebody does see me. And in seeing me, they love me. I have found that when you say I love you to someone somewhere, you're going to discover over time that there are many people who are going to come back and say, I haven't heard those words in a very long time. Thank you. Oh yeah, it can feel awkward and it can feel weird, but if you'll do it with the proper sense of who you're talking to and when you're talking to them, you can bring so much relief. And you know, if every one of us simply said, I love you to somebody every day, can you imagine the temperature, the emotional temperature of our culture and how it would just slowly but surely fall and get off of the boiling point and fall down to something far more reasonable. I want you to hear me say it to you. I love you. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, I love you. Thanks for being here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I have discovered lesser values than love will devolve into manipulation and to shame. They devolve into some sort of bait and switch or BS, as you may want to define it. We are not here for those kind of values. Our one value, our one goal in life must be L-O-V-E, love. It's the only credible value worth living your whole life for. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. Happy trails, everybody. Now go out there and do something beautiful because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.